Ask the Podcast Coach for February 7th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, yeah, the old man can dance. Hey, welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com. And joining me, as always, is the one, the only, from the Gallup Studios, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going this morning?
Greetings, Dave. Good to be back from assignment. And yeah, here in the Gallup Studios, the interns are back in full force, and we have five more weeks here, and so I'll be coming to you live. Although I'm going to have to miss a couple more weeks. I want to thank Brian for filling in for me in my absence. Always good. I tried to tune in later afterwards. I caught most of the show, but thanks, Brian, for doing that.
Yeah, I thought I had posted that show. Apparently not. But it's been a...
No, it's not out there yet. Yeah. I caught it on YouTube later in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's true.
I was here. Our interns came in, and they have to present. All winter, they're doing tech projects for us. And so not really for us, for them. But then they come in, and they present those to us. And so that was last week from 9 to noon. I was watching high school students present these tech projects. And pretty cool. And even this morning, one of them, a couple of them are in radio programs or you know, journalism, broadcast journalism stuff in school. I need to get more involved in those. I want to get into schools and get them podcasting and doing some of this stuff. So that's one of those areas where we work with these high school students. I think we can really make an impact for podcasting.
It's going to be really interesting to see that, you know, as time goes on, like, people that grow up podcasting, like how they're going to take it to the next level, to use Cliff's favorite term, because they're just, it's going to be like normal. Like for us, it's like, wow, look at this new thing. And they're like, what, podcasting? And people have been, it'd be like faxing or something like that. So,
well, and if you want to see the future of podcasting, head over to Twitch and look at some of the stuff those guys are doing on Twitch around gaming. You know, gaming, I think, always leads in a lot of ways, leads what's going on. There's some interesting formats going on out there. And I hear my son, my 18-year-old son, he'll be watching, excuse me, and he's giggling and laughing and having a good time. So they must be engaging over there.
That is good. Giggling and laughing is always a good thing. And, well, we actually have, if you want to call in, that number, of course, is 347-850-8007. 347-850-8007. And we do have a call. Let's see. Is Ken in the okay, maybe that's why he called in, because he's not in the chat room. Ken Blanchard, black man with a gun, sent in a question about the Facebook. So here is that question.
Hi, this is Ken Blanchard of BlanchardOutdoors.com. My question for Ask the Podcast Coach this morning is creating a Facebook fan page for your blog or podcast a good thing or not? Does it water down the SEO for your podcast or your blog? Looking forward to your response. Thanks.
What an interesting question. Because it's interesting because on one hand, you would say, well, you're sending somebody to another service. You're sending them away from your website. And so you would want to say, well, you should use something like SimplePress, I think is the one forum tool that I used to use. And, you know, keep people on your website, which is true. There's definitely, you know, the fun part is, though, is getting people to sign up to a forum. And then you have to battle the forum bots that love to spam your system. And I've tried it a couple times. I know Ray Ortega has tried it. I think Daniel J. Lewis, he actually has a successful forum with his Once Upon a Time thing. And when I was doing the podcasting in 6 weeks class, I finally just, again, listened to my audience, and they said, why don't you just use a Facebook group? And I created a Facebook group for the School of Podcasting, and it went, poof. I mean, it just exploded because people are already there. And so in terms of return on investment, I get so much more stuff on a Facebook group than I ever did using some sort of, because I forget the name of it, like Pro Boards or something like that. There was an online.
IP Boards is one of them.
Yeah, something like that. It was this whole big thing, and I was like, wow, okay, let's do that, because the spam situation will be handled. And it was just, they had to log in someplace else, even though the link was right there, you know, to do that. But they weren't there. They just, it was something that, you know, I had to, it made the form a lot more work where I had to put in a question. Here's the question of the week. Click here to answer it. And then they had to log in, blah, blah, blah. So it's a great question in terms of, does it hurt your SEO? I don't know.
I don't think it does. I don't think it does. I think what hurts it is if you set it up and don't work it.
Yeah.
And then it's just sitting out there empty, right?
Crickets.
He's talking about a fan page in particular. And I'm not a big fan of pages.
Yeah.
No pun intended there. But pages, you really got to work them. They're not just going to happen. You can't set them up and expect them to just go. You've got to drive traffic to them. You've got to buy. I mean, I think if you're going to make a fan page work and you don't already have an existing audience, you're going to need to buy a boost or some of those other things to make that work on Facebook. It's just, if you build it, they will not come to the fan page. It's not, you really got to hustle that. I think the group is a complete, I totally agree with you. I think groups, if you're a small podcaster and let's just say, you know, your downloads are somewhere between 0 and 1,000, I think groups are a great way to get the conversation going for your podcast, and you can invite people and you got to work them. You might be the only one posting in them for a while, you know, when you get them up and running. But I think groups as opposed to pages are better for that. You get pages. I still think, you know, Facebook kind of limits on a page who sees what, but yeah, in groups, you get notifications for everything.
Yeah. I like groups a whole lot more. I have a school of podcasting page, and it's one of those things, again, that I finally set up my Libsyn to automatically post to it because I was always in the group. And that, you're right. I think with a page, if you put things on there, it doesn't go to everybody. It's supposed to, you know, that whole Facebook thing is just, I just want to forget it.
It's an advertising nightmare on pages. Yeah. You're going to have to hustle. And like anything, if you're going to start a page, you're going to have to hustle. Will it hurt you? I don't think it will. But the groups are the way to go. So if you haven't started, start with groups. If you're not on Facebook anywhere, I think my recommendation would be start with groups and start pulling people in. And then if you get enough where the group is moving too much.
Okay. That's Gary calling to say, where are you at? Sorry about that, Gary. Gary, we are at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. The good news is you can take Wi-Fi calls anywhere now. So. Now,
That's awesome. I like it.
Gary, please quit calling.
Gary's calling back. We're using that phone line, Gary. Here,
let me mute the iPad because that's where that's coming from.
Oh, it's coming in through there.
And I believe I want to make sure that didn't kill my, no, we're still on. Now, see, now it says the phone is on hold.
Because you logged into Block Talk Radio.
I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
And now how do I?
It's a slippery slope.
How do I?
While you're figuring that out, Dave, let me
continue on with Facebook pages.
Let me talk a little bit about forums too, because that's a completely different, you started down that path and that's a completely different animal in a lot of ways. Forums are hard and difficult to work with. If you're going to start forums, you are going to dedicate some time. Mm-hmm. It's really best, I think, if you build a team around forums. You will not be able to manage them if they get of any size. You will not be able to manage them alone. You will need to engage some of your most engaged listeners in the forums to help you with that. I think they can still be successful today. There was some discussion going on that forums are dead and nobody really wants to be in forums and nobody really wants to use them. And I would say I don't believe that's true. Now, is it the right way for everybody to go? Hey, that's your call. How much do you want to work these forums to get them up and running and working and stuff? They will be successful if you work them, right? They'll be successful if you go out and gather the audience. Walking through something, I think on Google Plus last week with somebody having a little conversation, and they were like, hey, I want to start this, but I've started this podcast, but I'm not getting audience engagement. I'm on Twitter and on Facebook. And I had to ask the question, what are you doing to engage your audience personally? You know, what are you doing to make that connection? Are you doing hangouts where you're opening them and letting them connect with you? So often we think we're going to have this asynchronous communication, which is us talking to them and them engaging with us, but us not having to literally talk to them. And I think as podcasters, especially early on, you have to engage your listeners personally. And that's not tweeting them, right? That's not, it's a personal connection. It's taking a call. So we've got some calls. Let's get to
that. We do. I think we hit a jackpot here. Ending in, hold on a quick second. I got to go first come, first serve here. Ending in 1409, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Dave. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
This is Gary. I didn't mean to call your phone. I didn't know that you were using that for this.
Yeah, that's funny.
Hey, I had no idea you were using that. Matter of fact, I didn't know I was calling your number. That number I got off your site. But y'all were talking off of, groups and Facebook groups and Facebook pages. I love mine. I've got like 100,000 members. I made a post yesterday. I've had 30,000 comments on.
Nice. Yeah, or
30,000 views and comments. So, I don't know where you're going to get that kind of interaction. I never had an interaction in my groups ever, anything close to it, or my chat room,
mm-hmm.
On my site.
Yeah. So
I never had that kind of interaction.
I think the only thing I would do differently now, and again, you kind of have to go where your people are. I really like Google communities better than Facebook groups because you can have categories. But at the time, they're all like, no, just use Facebook. So I made a Facebook group, and it's, like I said, it's been gangbusters. But,
I have a group there, too. You can do both.
Yeah, that's
true. You're just trying to. I think when you say what you're saying is you're telling people, I want you to go here to interact with me. I don't want to be where you are already.
Right.
So I think you should do both. I don't think they hurt your SEO. I think they just widen your base. And I don't know. I find that, my people, at least ways in my niche, in the niche of sports, which are not technically savvy like your niche, that people don't seem to use Google Plus as much.
Yeah.
I have a way less action there.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are the amount of people on Facebook compared to Google Plus?
Facebook is, that's where everybody is. We're all sharing photos of kids and everything else. So that's what Addy's saying in the chat room. Listen to your audience. Yeah, go to where they are. That's the easy way. If you're looking for.
Yeah, well, that's what I believe. I believe you need to go where they're at already, not say, here's my delivery system. You got to bend the way you want to see me and come to the way I want to be seen. And I think that's what too many people make a mistake on is they say, people need to see me where I want to be seen. I'm not going to go to where they want to see me.
Right.
I think there's one caveat to that in that you need to, a lot of podcasters broaden way out and they make all these channels available. You can get me on Google Plus, you can get me on Facebook, you can track me down on Twitter, you can, all these things. And then it's hard to maintain all those, especially early on when you're not having a lot of conversation. It's hard to maintain those, and then somebody posts in one of those groups or in one of those forums, and you're not checking it. So I think you have to be careful if you're going to set all those things up, all those avenues for them to contact you through. You better be going out and checking them often. And it's because it's so easy to set up groups in Google Plus or groups in Facebook, and then it's easy if you don't get any interaction, it's easy to forget about it. So I would just warn users. I agree with both of you in the sense that we should meet them where they're at. Just make sure if you set something up in one of those areas, you're able to check it regularly, or you have notifications turned on. So if somebody does do it, it doesn't sit out there for 3 months before you get back to them.
Yeah. The worst thing you can do from my old days as a customer service rep is ask your audience for feedback and then do nothing with it. So if you go, hey, we built this form for you, and they go over and they go, Dave, can you tell me what the best microphone is to buy for blah, 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 and it sits there for 6 weeks and there's no response, it's like you're not going to get any kind of. I do that with software. If I buy software and they have a form, I go over and look and see what kind of answers people are getting, because if I see a lot of anybody got an answer, then I know their support is or they've just made a forum and they've abandoned it. But, that's definitely something.
And that's so easy to do if you don't have anyone coming. If you check that thing day in and day out and you have no interaction.
Yeah.
How long are you going to go there before you don't check it every day? So that's a really good point.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, that's all I wanted to say was that those things, I think Facebook is like, that is like my mainstay. I think it's like the best thing since butter for me, but. I'll let you get back to some other. Hey, what's with Blog Talk Radio?
What's up with it?
Aren't you on Blog Talk Radio?
I'm using their phone system. Yeah. That's something we're beta testing. Because this is the new HD version of the show. And if we had the ability to have both of us chime into that, it would probably sound better on Blog Talk Radio. But basically, we're using their phone system to kick the tires. When I met Andy Toe at Podcast Movement, he was like, hey, when this thing rolls out, do you want to kick the tires? And I'm like, okay, because it's right now it's free as I test it. And it's been working so far so good. But everybody's like, oh, does this mean Blog Talk Radio is okay? And I'm like, no, not yet. They're not haven't rolled anything out. They haven't said what the prices are going to be when they roll out this system. But yeah, but their phone system works good.
At
this point.
Well, it sounds good to me, too. It sounds good on the air. And like I said, I apologize. I called the phone again.
Well, that's all right, man.
No worry, Gary.
Show's sounding good. Y'all take it easy.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Take care.
All right. Bye. We've hit a nerve. Ending in 1679. Thanks for holding. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Well, hi, Dave and Jim. It is I, Michael, from Florida, where it's freezing today. It's only going to be like 69. I don't know how I'm going to survive.
Oh, my goodness. 69.
I know. It's rough.
It is rough.
You know, maybe 70 if we're lucky. Who knows?
Okay.
I'm in Tampa Bay area. I'm going to West Palm Beach next week, so it's warmer down there. I just can't take this winter thing. before I ask my question, I just wanted to say, Dave, I know that you're leaving your 40s now and hitting your 50s. And as somebody who hit the 50 mark some time ago, I just want to give you this encouraging word. Everything goes downhill from here. I mean, this thing starts falling apart.
This is as good as it's going to get.
You're going to get hair. You're going to get hair growing in places it never grew before. I mean, all kinds of weird stuff is going to happen. You enjoy your 40s while you still can, right. You know?
For the next 12 hours? Okay.
For the next 12 hours. Take it, you know, do everything you really wanted to do. You got 12 hours to get it done.
Awesome.
Because after that, you know, soon you're going to stop caring. But anyhow, I'm only kidding. Here's my question. And I just can't, I have a real nice podcast, the Home and Garden Radio podcast, which is in the middle of changing greatly. And in the middle of all of that change, I was wondering, and I want to ask both of your opinions, what is the best WordPress theme to use for podcasting?
If I had a nickel. Jim, you want to go first?
Well, I would say the one that works best for you, if you're going to ask us that broad of a question, right? Because they're, depending on what you're doing and depending upon the way you want it to look and depending on, I mean, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And so different themes look different ways. This is the really hard part. I don't think there is one great theme. We all use different. We've talked about the Genesis framework and Appendipity and Michael stuff, and I think this is one of those things you just got to struggle with. You got to get in there and try some themes. You know, you can easily go out and see what other people's themes are doing. And I would go out and take a look and find a site that you like that they're using WordPress and then maybe pull that theme up. But they're so customizable. You can make them look like anything.
Yeah.
You know, from that standpoint. And Dave, there's probably a handful, maybe two handfuls of themes that are podcaster friendly. And that's maybe the right way to approach this. Or what's more, because like the 2014 and the 2015
podcaster friendly.
Yeah. The 2014 and the 2015 themes are just kind of generic, right? And so what themes that are out there that a lot of podcasters are using that are friendly?
Yeah, it really depends on what you want to do. Like I have Appendipity themes, the podcast pro on a number of sites over at Weekly Web Tools, and it's cool because it's got the big huge player and it's fairly customizable, and I'm really liking that one. I've been playing with a theme called Divi from Elegant Themes, and it is sweet. I mean, it's got bells and whistles galore. That's the good news, and it's pretty easy. I mean, you could pretty much sketch something out on a napkin. I can pretty much make it do whatever you put on the napkin. That's the good news. The bad news is it does this through, and this is kind of the new, I'm seeing a lot of this, where use our page builder. You know, a lot of different themes. Use the page builder and click here to put a price list. Click here to put a contact form. Drag this over. It's all drag and drop. Great. It's all using short codes, which is great until you decide later, hey, I'm going to try this other theme. And you have no real content on your page, but short code. So if you use the Divi theme, you're kind of marrying it for life, because if you want to leave, you have to copy and paste everything into another page. So it's kind of a weird, like, I love it because it's super cool and I'm making some pretty cool sites with it. The only thing I'm worried about is what if something better comes along down the road? And I really think that's something that I think we all have to kind of in some ways get a handle on, because we're always looking for what if something better comes along. I'm like, well, okay, what is your current theme not doing that you wish it did? Because so many times we're looking for a new microphone or a new compressor, and I'm like, do we need that? I know Nick is saying, Thesis 1.8, that used to be my answer. And then they came out with Thesis 2.0, and I went, okay, that's not my answer anymore. Because I'm trying to find a theme that you don't need coding. Here's all I wanted. Let me add a header. Let me, if I can, pick where I want my sidebar to be, left or right. Let me pick how wide my sidebar is. And let me change the background color, the header color, and the sidebar. That's it. I don't want all this other page building, WooCommerce, blah, blah. That's all I need. That's it, you know. And I've been looking for the better part of 8 months. Every day I play with a new, well, not every day, but at least once a week, I will watch a video on a theme, and then I'll, you know, do this and that. So it kind of depends on what you want to do. Realize this though, and then we'll get some more input from you here. In many, many cases, your audience may not ever visit your website. There, it's good for sponsors to go, hey, go check it out. But I was looking at my phone the one day, and there are a lot of people I found by doing a search in iTunes or the podcast app. I listen to their podcast. I've never been to their website because they don't really give me a reason to. They're not like, hey, you know, for all the links we talked about, it's in the show notes, because now especially I just hit the button on the podcast app and the show notes are right there on my phone, which kind of is your website. But it kind of depends on what you're looking to do, I guess. But the good news is in many cases you can swap them out until you get into these ones where you're using a quote page builder. And so if anybody has one in the chat room.
Yeah, I've been advised to stay away from page builders for exactly what you were talking about. If you want to change, it's like, you know, it's rough. So I understand that. Well, I thank you guys very much for your answers, which really weren't an answer. Neither of you recommended a theme.
I would say Podcaster.
But you did give me a lot to think about.
Yeah, Podcaster Pro from Appendivity, I love it. It just, you know, some people are like, ooh, what's, you know, like the big, huge player at the top, you can turn that off. But that it doesn't allow me to adjust my sidebar width, but it does allow me to add a header. It does allow me to put a player on each post, which it kind of works with PowerPress, which is cool. And it lets me do some, it has some cool things for advertising. And if you want to have a sign up list, it's kind of, so it's flexible, but not so flexible that you're like, oh, holy crap. And then when you go into the Podcaster Pro, every time you go into a new section, click here to watch the video on how to use this section. So that's the good news. The bad news is it requires the Genesis theme. That's not bad news. It's just the fact that you have to buy Genesis and then you have to buy Appendipity. But so you end up paying like $110 bucks for that. So, you know, but.
Oh, well, I spent $110 on a lot of things that were worth absolutely nothing. So, yes. You know, it's only money. Hey, guys, stay warm. Happy birthday, Dave. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
Well, Jim, any other comments on that before we?
Well, you know, we're going to have this conversation forever. A long time, because this idea of the best, you know, what's the best? Well, there's a million dependencies based on what you know, what you're comfortable with, what you want it to look like. I mean, I use Mesocolumns. Nobody uses that theme, but it worked for the way I wanted my site to look, right? And so that's beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And so there is no, good to go back. The best one is the one that works the best for you. You're going to have to do some legwork on this. You're not going to get off this one. And when I say you, I don't mean you, Dave. I'm talking about the royal you, in the sense that you're going to have to do some homework and try out some themes and figure out what works best for you. We argued about players, and everybody's got their opinion on what a player should be. And some like big players with jukebox, and some like basic ones, right? So you're going to have to figure this out on your own.
Yeah. And you don't make Dave Jackson speechless too often. It doesn't happen a whole lot. All I did for this version of Ask the Podcast Coach was I said, help Dave celebrate the last day of being in his 40s. I didn't like go out to Twitter. I didn't send out to my email list. And I don't know who did it. I would love to know who did it. I thought it might have been you. you or Steve Stewart or possibly Jared Easley. He'd be another nice guy that would be out and say, "Hey, go wish Dave a happy birthday." Because they just started coming in. And then I was like, well, what do I do with these? I mean, they're great for me. They make me cry and all sorts of other fun things. But I'm like, I got like an, 15 minutes for birthday wishes. So since she's in the chat room, and it's interesting seeing how people get super creative. So
hi, Dave. This is Addie Saucedo from doitpodcast.com. And my podcast question is this: what does February 8th mean? Hit it, ladies. Just wanted to say happy birthday, Dave. I hope you celebrate it. Rock out. Do what you do best. Sending you a hug. Happy birthday.
Now, one hand, you kind of go,
awesome. That's awesome.
So one hand, you're like, well, Dave, they're podcasters. They're sitting in front of a microphone. But no, you still took, music and all sorts of, I'm like.
That took some work.
Wow.
That took some work.
So it was.
Addie's pretty awesome.
She is pretty awesome. And I'll play one more. Because this one literally almost made me cry. Let me find it. And I got a ton. Yes.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Hello, Dave. It's Mike here.
Now, can you hear that?
And Vanna, Bella, and Zara.
And Zara. That was definitely Zara from Music Radio Creative and now the audio production show in the second season. And we're pleased to say that you're our guest of honor in the first month of the second season.
Now, a little birdie told stereo. Us, didn't they?
A little birdie told yeah, us. Oh, yeah. We're only hearing it's Isabella's side.
Yeah, okay. Well, I will fix that later then. But it's hilarious because.
Play those at the end, mix those into the recorded version at the end. At so the folks end. Get a chance to do that.
Yeah, but it was, they just started coming in and the hilarious awesome. Thing is some of them are like, I'll see you at Podcast Movement. And I was like, I bet this is Jared Easley. Cause they're like, and I'll see you at Podcast Movement. I'm like, it's Jared. It's gotta be. So, but
that's cool though. It's great when the audience, you want to measure your engagement. I mean, there's been a lot of talk recently in the Facebook forums about engaging and engaging your audience. You've obviously engaged them, in doing this. And so, well, you got 15 birthday video or audio bits back from them. That's good. That's a good sign, Dave.
Yeah,
good sign.
I actually have. By the way,
my birthday is May 26th.
What is it? May 20?
May 26th.
Okay. Your iPad, the whole notification thing at the top, I'm like, I'm trying to hit a button, please. I won't play all of this, but check this out.
Happy birthday to you.
Jeff Brown saying happy birthday. Now, Ryan Parker's in here. This is worth hearing. Of course. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Dave Jackson. I'm so glad you turned 21. What do you mean it's not his 21st birthday? Oh, well, no one's going to punch you in the face for being older than 21. Yes. So I want you to have a wonderful year this year, and I hope it's even better than the last. I wanted to take a moment to say thank you for all that you've done for everyone who wants to learn how to podcast and who's in the podcasting space. It's growing leaps and bounds, partly because you are here to help people, and I truly do appreciate it. So again, happy birthday, and I hope next year is even more awesome. Take care, Dave.
Thank you very much, Ryan. That was that made me giggle.
Always good to hear from Ryan.
Always good. Gary in the chat room, is there a free version of Chatwing? Well, in the words, remember the old Paul Maliff commercials? Now I am dating myself. Gary, you're soaking in it. Yes, that is the free version. I think I at one point was paying for it, and I was like, I don't really need I don't really need my logo in the upper left hand corner for.
No, you don't need to. The free version. I do pay for it on my site, but only because it's HTTPS, and so it doesn't work on embedded in the site if on a secure site if you do it, and so it costs me a whole dollar a month.
Are you crazy?
A whole dollar?
Are you sure you can afford that?
The big money.
Yeah.
So it's good. I like the way Chatwing does it, where you just buy coins from them. They're a dollar each, and then you can spend those on various services that cost a dollar or $2 or whatever. It's pretty easy from that standpoint. I've liked Chatwing. It's been a good service to use. And I know not everybody likes it. That's another thing. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Some people like IRC. Some people like whatever. Fill it in. And so it's one of those things that has worked well. We really liked Mixlr chat when we first started mm-hmm. doing this. I mean, that was a great, Mixlr has a great chat room. I think it's actually better than Chatwing.
Gee, it is pretty cool. Mixlr's, I saw when we had some people pop in over there and I was like, we're over here now. So
yeah, it's got a million, Chatwing has a million different options to change colors. And this is all free. Change colors and move things around and the way you display it and the font size. And so it's a little bit of option hell when you get in there, because it takes, there's, you know, about 9 different tabs, and each tab has 2 or 3 different things you could get into. And so there's a lot of different options. But if you like complete configuration, this kind of goes back to the WordPress conversation, is, you know, the WordPress theme concept as well is, some people don't want customization. It's like, I want to set it and forget it, right? I don't want to mess with that. And others want customization down to the nth detail, right? And so that also determines what you go with. And Chatwing has that nth degree options, including some paid options.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, hold on. Dan asked this question. He says, I wish the chat was above the YouTube window, though I only see the bottom of it. All right. So in the upper right hand corner, there's 2 little boxes. You just click on that and it pops the chat out. You can put it anywhere you want. That's the beauty of Chatwing. So if you, on my site, I've made those red so that those 2 boxes, I've made them red. So I can always say, go to the red boxes in the upper right hand corner. And you can just pop Chatwing out. Almost all of my listeners that listen live pop the chat out and have it. In fact, that's the way I have it here, Dave. I'm dual monitor here, and I've got you on the left, and I've got the chat on the right, and it's popped out. So do that, and you can move it around anywhere you want.
There you go. And so what is it now? It's chat, then YouTube, and he wants it?
It's YouTube and then chat, I think, is the way you have it now. And he wanted the chat above it so he could see, because the newest, it depends on the resolution of your screen, but the newest ones would be at the very bottom, and those might be getting cut off because they're at the very bottom of the screen. So he would rather have it reversed, where the chat is up on top. I say just pop the chat out, right? And it looks like they're getting that option there. A good thing to remind people from time to time, pop the chat out and just throw it anywhere on your screen that you want.
Hey, I want to, I thought I would bring up an interesting point, something I did this morning. And hey, he's in the chat room, so I'll say it as well. Thanks to Mod Podcast Reviews, which you can find at schoolpodcasting.com/MPR. I was notified that somebody had reviewed my Logical Weight Loss podcast, and they gave me 1 star. And the 1 word description was horrible. And I looked it up, and there's that old saying, what other people think of you is not your business. And it was interesting because the username, the Apple username, was like, it looked like a brand. And I went, well, that's interesting. So I Googled the username, and sure enough, it was another weight loss kind of podcast. So basically, my quote, if we put up our air quotes again, my competition came in and trashed my podcast.
Nice.
And I was like, because I looked at him like, am I really whining like a little girl? I think is what else it said. And I was like, So before you go like completely changing your format because of 1 review, Google it and see if you can, you know, find out who the source of it is. Because in some cases, as they say, consider the source. And I went, oh, that's why they hate the show. They want other people to like their show.
It's so hard though. You get that negative review and you're like, your heart kind of sinks and you're like, screw it. I'm getting out of podcasting. This is the dumbest thing I've ever done. You know, you have those moments, right? You get that, especially if they're nasty to you, and you just have to, I mean, I think take advice of most professional athletes, most people in Hollywood, they just don't read the reviews, right? At some point, when they're that bad, right? Most people are not that bad,
right?
Especially when you get, Dave, and in your case, I mean, you got hundreds of, you know, you have hundreds of thousands of people that listen to you, you know, in any given moment, you're not that bad. So it's like, okay, this guy was just being unfair in that, and you just kind of have to disregard it. I think the worst thing you can do is engage in it, right?
Yeah.
So get that on your Facebook page, or get that in your, a comment in your, you know, on your website, and then you start engaging, and then you, you know, you kind of, so it's flame and then another flame and then a flame back and you're flaming. Nobody wants to read that stuff. If you want to read that, go over to CNN.com or go over to one of those and pull up any political article. Shoot, go to YouTube and watch any NASA video about, you know, the evolution versus creation. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I bet.
It, the flaming is horrific and nobody wants to read that stuff. So don't do it. Don't engage. If it's going to be negative, don't engage. The other way to, I think, the other piece of advice I would have, if you have to engage, do it privately. Go back, even on Facebook. If someone, and this happens in the, you know, we've had over the last couple of weeks, we've had discussions. The conversations have got a little heated in there about a variety of topics. One of those was the requirements to be, get into the podcast awards. If you've got a disagreement with somebody, would you please IM them personally and just get that conversation done behind the scenes? We don't have to get that stuff aired out on Facebook. Okay. It's so unproductive and it's so unprofessional and it's so un everything. Like if you're going to do that kind of stuff, IM them behind the scenes, right? I don't want to hear that argument. I don't want to read your argument on Facebook, and other people don't, I don't think do is either. So get that stuff done. Just send in my IM. Boom. IM. Hey, did you really mean it that way?
Yeah.
Cause this is the way it came across.
Yeah. You can easily get sucked in. I almost got sucked into, there was a, person I had done some consulting with who, in my opinion, is not the most organized person. Like, he wanted me to show him how to design a website, and I go, well, go up and make an about page or have that information ready. And well, that way we can put some content on your website. It's kind of hard to show how to navigate around a website without some content on it. And he didn't have it, and it wasn't the most productive thing. And it went a little longer than we should have. And we're kind of talking and having buddy time as I'm consulting with him. So in the end, I like cut his bill like in a third. I'm like, you know what? We're kind of all over the place and you weren't really ready. And you went into areas that I wasn't ready to talk about yet. And then he went and trashed it in a Google Plus group and said, well, that was not the best $75 I've ever spent. And I started to get snarky right back at him. And I went back later and de-snarked it and went, you know what? I'm not going there. It's like, and kind of told him, I said, dude, what was up with that? And we took it private and was like, no, I didn't mean that. And I thought you were being snarky. And I'm like, so I went back and looked at my remark and I'm like, okay, I didn't mean it snarky, but I guess depending on your attitude, I could see where you thought I was being snarky. And so,
yeah, you have to be overly cautious in written media because everybody assumes it's negative to begin with. Yeah. And so I just think for your own reputation, I think it's just smart to be overly cautious. The trick I do is I write it out and then I read it a couple times before I hit post. And then I delete most of the comments that I write. I'm like, one, that's too stupid. So don't send that. Or two, yeah, that sounds kind of snarky. And I was having a conversation with a guy via email this week who posted some stuff. And I was like, that sounded kind of condescending. Did you mean that? And it just, you know, get that stuff out. That usually diffuses the situation when you just kind of call it like, are you meaning to be this way? Cause I'm just trying to have a conversation.
Are you trying to be a jerk?
In my case, the guy was like, yeah, I am actually trying to be snarky. Didn't use that word, but, and I'm like, well, okay, then I'm not really interested in having a conversation if that's the way this is going to go. I think it's just too easy online to be that way. And I think some people do it and think it's funny, and it really isn't. Let's just be honest. It's not that funny. I know you think you're being funny. It's not funny. And so it's, yeah, I think enough said for me.
Well, the other thing I thought we could talk about today, on Mondays, I haven't figured out if it's going to be this Monday or next Monday. I think it's going to be this Monday. I'm going to be interviewing Jeff, the CEO of Joyride. And when I looked at it, I'm like, well, this is kind of interesting. And he was saying it's a great way if you have bonus content that you can basically put the bonus content. Sounds like they create a via RSS and their app, but you don't have to use their app. It sounds like an interesting tool to use. And I thought, well, maybe we should, you know, how we love to play here on Ask the Podcast Coach. And I was like, maybe we should set up a Joyride account. I have a Patreon account for the School of Podcasting. I thought maybe we should set up a Joyride account just to kick the tires on it for Ask the Podcast Coach. And I thought I would throw that idea by you to see your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm always open for that kind of test stuff. I haven't looked at Joyride very closely. I know you sent me a note earlier in the week, said we might talk about it, and I didn't get around to it. But yeah, I think it's great to try anything, and let's
give it a shot. Okay, I just wasn't sure because I just thought anytime money gets involved, things get like really weird.
Like you making money off this.
Yeah, like how do we split it? 50-50, 60-40? No,
100 to you and 0 to me.
No,
that's how we split this. Yes, no, it's and I get that. It's actually a great conversation, Dave, because a lot of podcasters go in. There are some, there's mono podcasting, and then there's a lot of teams out there. Mm-hmm. And how do you split that? And you're doing exactly what needs to be done. You're talking about it early, and saying, "Hey, look, there's going to be money involved in this. Let's just get this out and let's air this out. So there's no, there's no miscommunication about it. There's no misunderstandings about it. Because money changes things.
Right?
It's all fun and games, goofing around, having a good time podcasting. Oh, there's money involved.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, friendships become business partnerships, and that gets a lot different. From my standpoint, in all honesty, this is your gig. As a guest, I love to be in a position to be able to come and go as I like and have no obligations. You allow that for me. You cover everything on the back end. I'm full transparency here, man. I just show up on Saturday mornings and get to have this awesome experience, right? Or I get to hang out with a bunch of podcasters and talk about really significant podcasting topics where we do it in a civil manner and everybody is super nice to each other. To me, that's worth its weight in gold. And I love this community. I mean, I love what we're doing here. So I feel privileged. So we'll just say 100% you, 0% Jim. Let's just go with it and see what happens.
Let's do that to be reviewed in 3 months or a month or something.
Sure.
Like that.
We'll see about that. Okay. We'll see about that.
Yeah. Cause it may go completely nowhere.
You never know. You never know.
I was kicking.
I podcast for fun.
Yeah. I was kicking the tires on Castbacker and. Then because Joyride was like, if you have 50,000 downloads per episode, you can make $1,000 a month. And I was like, if I had 50,000 downloads an episode, I wouldn't need you guys. It's like, no offense.
Right.
It's like, okay. Yeah.
It does change the equation. And you've mentioned this several times. And I think there's this allure to new podcasters, again, when you're between 1,000 and 5,000 downloads per episode, right? Where it's no man's land. Because you're not really big enough that you can attract the services that are doing advertising for you. But there's these companies that want to pull you along with it to bring you in. And I don't know. I think, geez, this is so hard. I'm a big anti-advertiser in podcasting a lot of ways, but that's just because I don't do it, right? There are some very good ways to do that. Right now it's really difficult for anybody going 0 to 5,000 in this space. And there's a bunch of them are popping up with big promises in caveat emptor, right? Buyer beware going into these things because they're not going to be everything that I think you think they will be.
Yeah. I'm waiting for somebody to give me permission. He sent me an email with like just tons of really great questions, kind of voicing the frustration of somebody who's just started. They're on their first podcast. And he was kind of like, I don't really have time to learn WordPress, but I'm trying to do this and that. And then at the end, he's like, and I want to start a second podcast. I'm like, wait a minute. You just said you didn't have time to learn WordPress and now you want to start a second podcast. But it was a classic, like, I got to get him his permission to see if we can use some of his questions. And I'd love to have him on the line because it was just a classic, great example of here's where this guy is. He's got some momentum going. He's kind of expecting things to go. And, he's got, what is the average now? I think Rob said the average it's a little over 1,000, but the median is like 80 or something like that, where 50% have less and 50% have more. I need to go listen to the last episode of the feed. I listened to it and he said it, but I didn't write it down. But, Joyride, Nick Suberling. If you go to getjoyride.com, it's Patreon with a different name. And the only thing that
And Bill asked, go ahead.
The one thing that they said that I sounded a little different, you can put the Joyride stuff on your website. as opposed to go to patreon.com/whatever. And there was something else that was different. Oh, you can upload media to Joyride. So if you have bonus content, they'll host it for you. And I went, yeah, that's kind of cool. So
I think we have a little latency in our line all of a sudden.
Yeah, we do.
Maybe not. Maybe it's back to, well, I've been seeing some video and stuff, problems there. Bill asked in chat, he said, in Chatwing, is there a best way to sign in to chat? Because it's one of Chatwing's features is it allows you to log in with Twitter or Facebook or Yahoo or Google Plus or LinkedIn or just there's like 17 different ways to log in. I have yet to find an advantage to any of them. I think one huge advantage to your audience is they don't have to log in with anything. So you can choose when you that log in, click in as a guest and just put your name in there and they don't have to create a new account. So if you get folks that are using Chatwing and they're new to this, we use Chatwing for Gallup and I get tons of uneducated, non-technical people that watch our shows every single week. And Chatwing, now that we're good at it, Chatwing has just worked perfect. And we still only get about half of our people who actually listen live. So most of our shows do between 50 and 150 live each week. And I only get about half of those to actually join us in the chat room. So there are people who just want to come, they want to watch, they don't want to interact, and they're not going to be there. And we get a handful of them to use the guest accounts, but more and more people, as we look at this here, you know, there's a couple people logged in with Chatwing. There's a couple people logged in, not very many with Facebook. Just I see Dan is logged in there. A bunch of Google Plus, a bunch of Twitter. Oh no, I see some more Chatwings than just a couple. So there are, I don't know if there's an advantage. It's whatever picture you want to bring in from that social network. That's really what it's doing is it's grabbing that profile picture and bringing it in. So I don't know, Bill, I don't think there's an advantage to using one over the other.
Yeah. And Bill has a great question. So you learn to podcast first or learn WordPress? I would say learn to create an episode first because you could spend hours learning WordPress and never have an episode get off the ground. I have a guy, you know, we were joking a couple weeks ago. I talked about casturbation. This one guy, just keep watching. The guy that inspired that phrase is still just doing all sorts of everything else. And I keep going, how's episode one coming? And it's just not. So, cause you know, we talked about WordPress this morning. It's nice to have a great looking website. I think you do need your own website because if you're going to use any kind of affiliate marketing, you have to have a place for them to go to click. But I think we can get overly critical of our website. I don't think it has to be this be all end all. You know, you want it to be the best you can, but to me, you know, Michael Dell was talking about 2014. I've seen people that I had sessions with Slough. You know, the guy had a really cool banner made for the top, and there's almost nothing else on that page. And when you go to it, it doesn't look bad because the top screams professional. And the rest is just, here's a couple links to iTunes and things like that. And he's got his show notes. You know, it doesn't have to have all the bells and whistles. And sometimes we get really hung up on features that we're never going to use. That's the thing that I'm like, okay, yeah, it integrates with WooCommerce. Are you selling anything? No. Okay. Well, then that's a feature you're not going to use, you know? Oh, but this one does this. And okay, are you going to be using that? No. Then it's not a feature then. It is for somebody else that's going to use it. But I would say start with a podcast and then work your way onto WordPress. And the cool thing is when you're learning WordPress, you can keep recording episodes. So now you got a bunch in the can.
Yeah, I totally agree. Get a bunch of episodes out or get a bunch of stuff done or just create a bunch of audio and then throw it all away and then start. Right. It's just what you got to do. That stuff's bad. You don't know it's bad. You will find out it's bad 6 months from now and you'll be like, oh, that stuff's awful. So get all that stuff done out of the way, practice, do some stuff, mess around with it, post it on SoundCloud and then post it to Facebook so people can listen to it and give you feedback. Don't make anything permanent at that point. Just try some stuff out and go from there. Hey, Craig was asking me in the chat. I was talking about our live show. So I actually do two different live things. The average guy stuff, the stuff that you talk about, Dave, with me here. We do those on Thursday nights. That gets about 10 or 15 live. The Gallup stuff at Gallup.com, that's our website, thegallup.com. Those get 50 to 150 live. The schedule for that is gallup.eventbrite.com. So if you want to go out and see some of the things we're doing, then we have a coach's site. I set up our coaching site to be just like, in fact, we use Blogger for that, of all things. If you go out to coaching.gallup.com, that's kind of our page. The blog is there. The live page is there. And the live page on the Gallup site and the live page on theaverageguy.tv look amazingly similar. I wonder why that is. It's because I built both, right? And I just copied one when I came to start podcasting at work. I just brought everything I'd learned from 4 years of podcasting right into the, you know, right into the podcasting space for the enterprise and applied all those things. We do a few things different that way, but it's, Dave, it is pretty fun. And we have a lot today. I mean, we got a lot of folks in chat today. I mean, yeah. This morning's been a good show. It's fun to have a bunch of people live. I mean, and so to get 50 to 150 live when we first did that, the most I'd ever had live before I did enterprise podcasting was 30, right? Wow. And I thought that was gigantic. And then we did a show with 300 and I was like, holy cow, we've hit gold, right? There's nothing more adrenaline surging than 300 live. So the enterprise podcast stuff has been fun. I see we have a caller.
We have a call. I'm going to hit one point. Otherwise, I'm going to forget it. Addie makes a great point. Get your branding maybe first. Come up with your show name and get that artwork going once you know this is the name of the show and you've got your website address. Maybe get those first, then get the episode, then come back. And now by the time you get your episode done, your artwork's done, and now you can start building your website. But yeah, that's a great point. Get the branding.
It's good progression.
Right. Yeah.
Yep, good progression. So,
ending in 2686, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Wow. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, happy to have you.
I've been listening to you for over a couple of years. You are a fantastic teacher, and I'm honored to be on the air with you here. And especially honored to be on the air with you on your birthday. So happy birthday.
Thank you very much. What's your name?
I'm sorry. This is Connie Mankin. I had a podcast called Positively Life After 50.
Excellent.
And so I'm kind of with you there on the 50 thing going.
There you go.
And I tell you, get ready for the biggest roller coaster of your life, because that's kind of what happened to me. I kind of hit a brick wall. In fact, my podcast, I didn't pod fade. I kind of pod died. But I know a lot of my problems at the time.
Okay.
And I agree with your castration. I don't particularly like the
term. No.
The way you called it, but the term. But anyway, I agreed with it because that was one of my problems. I got too diversified in all the learning WordPress and all the other things that there were to learn about the podcast. So I'm trying to get back online again. I was wondering, should I start brand new? Should I pick it up where I left off? I mean, it's been 2 years, and I've never let the dream die. And I'm not my age, and my gender is not a real prolific. Is not really prolific in podcasting.
Okay.
So there's.
Is it going to be the same show, do you think?
There's going to be a lot of changes. Okay. I could keep the name.
Okay, because if the name is going to be
there's going to be a lot of changes to it.
Okay, because I mean, you can keep the same name, but if it's the same topic, just, hey, it used to be just me talking solo, and now I'm going to have a co-host, and we're going to interview people or things like that. So if the name still fits the topic, you know, listeners are hard to come by, and there may still be people that are subscribed to your show. It's amazing how, you know, unless I know some people, I've seen things drop when you stop doing a show because you were part of my routine and now you left. So I just go in and I unsubscribe. But there are those people that, like, they don't care. That I'm subscribed to a bunch of shows that are dead, and I just haven't gone in and cleaned it up because it doesn't, you know, it causes no pain when my phone checks a dead RSS feed. So if it still fits, I would keep the name, unless you really want to do something completely. I just want to start from scratch. But, you know, go back to kind of the drawing board. And I always say, start off with what is the goal of the podcast? And if it's, hey, I just want to have fun and meet people, that's awesome. Okay. Then figure out who your audience is. What do they want to hear? And talk about that, and then see where do those topics further your goal? because you want the topics to basically, A, if your audience doesn't like what you're talking about, they're not going to listen. And if it doesn't, if your topics don't further your overall goal, well, then you're going to get into about episode 9 and go, this isn't going where I want. You're going to want to steer it out of the way. So kind of have to figure out what you want to do and then figure out what the audience wants to hear and do that and try to make those two intertwine. So the topics then point people towards your overall goal. Does that make any sense?
Okay. Thank you. Yes. And a question about mics. I know you've talked about mics many, many times, mm-hmm. but if a person has a wheeze or like with asthma and that, is there a mic that I don't have to go in and cut my breath every time I take a breath, which is what I was having to do. I was having to cut out my breath.
What you can do is you wouldn't want what's called a condenser microphone. You'd want one called dynamic. And I recommend the Audio-Technica 2100. Depending on how loud your wheeze is, that will help pick up less of it. You might look into, there are these things called noise gates. And what they do is, let's say when I talk, my volume is at an 8. And when I wheeze, my volume is at a 4. Well, I can say, look, Mr. Noise Gate, don't let anything in unless it's at least a 5. Because the wheeze was at 4. So when I wheeze, it doesn't let it get onto the recording. But when I talk, I'm at an 8, so it's way over 5, and it lets it in. So that's where it's a way to kind of cut out the background noise. And there's software you can do that. You can do that in software. Like if you recorded it in, Audacity has a noise gate, so you can do it kind of post production, or you can do. I kind of have one of those right now, doing it live. I have a piece of hardware that I plug my microphone in.
Yeah, I'd use hardware.
Yeah, hardware is a little, gives you a little more flexibility because my hard drive every now and then just sings. It just, and I'm like, okay, well, let's turn up the gain or the sensitivity on the noise gate so it doesn't pick that up.
Okay, okay. And one last question if you have time.
Sure.
It's about Amazon.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. If I had an account, and of course I had so many issues in my life that I had to drop the podcasting, but I had an account and then I never did do anything on it. So Amazon dropped me.
Okay.
Is it going to be very hard to get back?
No. Here's what I did, and I didn't do anything underhanded. I really thought they were going to say, hey, wait a minute, that's the same social security number, and boot me. Cause I used the wrong type of link and got banned. I did not just get dropped. I got banned. They're like, nope, sorry. So what I went back, I used a different email address and, a different website as opposed to School of Podcasting. But when it asks, who are you? I put in my address and my social security number. And I'm like, I'm not going to try to game the system here. I'm going to say, here's who I am. And if they're looking for me, here I am. I'm not lying. And I got approved. So I'm now back to being an affiliate. I definitely always use the right link. I have all sorts of disclaimers. Anytime I do anything in an email or a website or a tweet, even, I'm not even sure they're legal in tweets, so I don't usually do that. I usually send people to my website where the affiliate link is, where they'll say at the bottom of the post, Dave Jackson incorporates in Amazon, blah, 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 whatever it is. So I just disclose everywhere I'm at. Yeah, so I was able to get back in. It's the only thing.
Okay.
I would wait till after your website was up and you had some episodes up.
Oh, absolutely.
So they kind of look and say, okay, this isn't, this is up and going and it's something that they want to partner with. So.
Absolutely. Last time I did everything way too fast, and this time I've had a lot of instruction. I've listened to a lot of your podcasts, and I just feel like maybe I'm ready to do this again. But I want to thank you very much. It's great to go on a walk and have you in my head. So
glad to be there.
Have a great year.
And
bye bye.
Did she leave? Do you have a website still?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, do you still have a website?
I'm sorry, what?
What's your website address?
Yes, I do still have a website. It's positivelylifeafter50.com.
All right. I will have to check that out. Because tomorrow it'll be true.
It all ends tomorrow, Dave. Thanks, Connie.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take awesome. Care.
See, that's what's cool. When I hear I'm in somebody's head on a walk, it's like, see, and this is where
that scares me.
See, I understand the importance of having your show on the same day or biweekly or whatever that schedule is, because then you become part of the routine.
You do.
Yeah, that's the cool thing. And granted, you don't have to be, you know, you don't, again, we're not going to should people, but, you know, you don't have to be on the same schedule, because there are plenty of podcasters. Joe Rogan is an example that comes out whenever he feels like it, but he knocks it out of the park. So he's consistent in content. But if you can have that consistent schedule, then you'll become part of their routine. And that's really, really cool.
Yeah. Our listeners get really upset when we skip a show, you know, the Gallup, especially on the Gallup ones. And I really, for my home gadget geeks too, I have to take 2 weeks off in February for work. And they're like, 3 weeks without a podcast? Come on. You know, can you release some old stuff?
Yeah.
Or what, you know, whatever. So I probably need to mix something together to throw it in there to do it. So that's a good reason to have some. And you and I have plenty of it, to be honest with you. Yeah. We've got post-show stuff that we can throw together. Sometimes if you keep your post-show and you record it, that might be something you could release later. So
that's
not
right.
A bad idea. And we're out of time. Maybe next week we can talk about gates, because that conversation picked up in there, a little bit of hardware.
Yeah. We had a lot of good conversations about groups and Facebook. So thanks to Ken Blanchard for sparking that conversation. You can find him at blanchardmedia.com. And now he's got Blanchard Outdoors. He's just all things Blanchard. Unless, of course, it's weird, because Ken Blanchard, of course, is the guy who moved my cheese and all that. So find Ken over at blackmanwithagun.com. And you can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code S20. And that'll save you off your first month at the School of Podcasting. Thank you to everyone who sent in the birthday wishes. That's still just like, I was listening to I was playing them for my wife last night. She's like, well, you're a popular little fellow. And I'm like, apparently. And she goes, what'd you do to get him to do that? I go, nothing. I go, I put one sentence. And I go, they just started raining in. I'm dying to know who's behind that. Because I really.
Steve Stewart.
Is it Steve? Okay.
Steve Stewart.
Because I'm like going, somebody had to.
He contacted me and said they were doing that. So that's my contact. A lot of people did it. So thanks for doing that, making Dave's day special.
Appreciate that. Because they kept saying, a little bird told me. So I emailed Steve. I go, are you a little bird? Because I'm getting the message a lot. So awesome. All right. So
happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you very much. Yes. Say goodbye to 40s tomorrow. And we are here. I'll still be here. I'll be older next week. But we'll be here next
week.
Over
the hill.
Yeah.
We'll start building your replacement. Yeah. Start figuring out who's going to replace you when you retire.
We'll have to start taking breaks in the middle so I can go to the bathroom. Things like that. But we're every Saturday. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live. And we'll see you next week. Take care.